Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Baptist Church, where we come to worship the living God and to be together. I am Zan Morgan, a member of the staff team here, and I am honored to be leading worship today with David Sewell and Reverend Rolf Bauma, who is our worship coordinator while we continue our search for new pastoral leadership. Thanks for leading worship today. You'll find a couple of things in your bulletin. Yeah, perfect. That I just want to draw your attention to. Always there's a connection card. I invite you to take that out right now and fill it out. It's for all people to fill out every Sunday. A great way for us to stay connected with you, to hear about what's going on with you, to invite you into next steps to help church life happen here. A great way to connect if you're visiting for the first time. So I invite you all to take a moment to fill out the connection card. You can place that in the offering plate as it comes by later in worship. You'll also find a stewardship insert. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. And to the last week of stickers, thanks to Mary Davis. She's been sticking our stickers in our bulletins. We'll use those later in worship today, too. Second through fifth graders, you'll be worshiping with me after time as children. We have our pews ready with our journals, so you can find your spot. And then for adult formation and all the things that happen after worship, we've got adult formation, we've got children's choir, we've got the youth group is meeting. And for adult formation today, Rolf is going to be leading a class called Change, Knowing, Engaging, and Coping on Climate Change. So we invite you to join us in the Memorial Lounge after fellowship time downstairs so that we can do some learning, engaging, and learn some coping strategies maybe too there. All right. Want to draw your attention to two Sundays from now, the 16th. We're going to have a congregational gathering to check in about where we are and what's been going on and to hear about plans for the next couple of months here at First Baptist. We'll get an update from the Pastoral Search Committee, all kinds of good things happening on November 16th during that adult formation hour. So we invite you, we strongly encourage you, would you please be there on November 16th so we can share updates together. We've had some recent changes in there are listening stations in the fellowship hall today, again, to hear how you're feeling about things and to have conversation. So folks will be in the fellowship hall near the stage if you would like to share and do some listening. We invite you to do that. The personnel committee has hired our Reverend Beth and Reverend Bill. We call them Beth and Bill, but they are clergy. They are going to be our pastoral care staff team for this season of transition while we look for our new pastoral leadership. So would the two of you wave your hands so people know who to come see? Yes. So we'll have a blurb in the bulletin next week about all the ways that you can connect with them as you have, as you'd like to, as you have need or as you would love to connect with the two of them in pastoral support, love, and care. So please reach out to them. All right, it's time to worship. It's time to remember. It's time to celebrate. It's time to break bread together. So let's do it. Would you join David now in the responsive call to worship?
I will exalt you, O God, my King.
And bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
There is no end to God's praise.
One generation shall praise your works to another,
and shall declare your power.
All your works praise you, O Lord. Saints of all ages bless you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you today, brought together in community and faith and for rest in the chaos of this shared world. We thank you, God, for times of transition, for the change of the seasons, for the challenge and the opportunity to grow closer to you and to one another and to your vision for our lives. We ask that you will bless our time together today as we listen and we learn, and as we depart this place to serve you and one another, and someday depart this world to be reunited with you and with all the saints. Amen. Reading today comes from Genesis 28, verse 5 and 10 through 22. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and as he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. And the stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks to Christina Alanese, who helped us put this video together, a collection of many voices for our stewardship talk today. What work do we feel called to? I've been thinking about that question a lot lately. I love the work of listening to the children, and I get to do it with 22 other church members in the children's ministry team, and 7 of those volunteers are teenagers. I love working with the stewardship team as we think through how to celebrate the work we do together. And I get to do that with 4 other church members. I love the work of supporting unhoused neighbors with Kat and Lee. I love the work of planning the annual intergenerational Advent event with Julia and Christina. I love working on the board of Christian Ed to plan for learning opportunities with 5 other church members and Jillian, another staff team member. I love working with Janice Stump, who comes in for one day each week to do whatever needs doing. I love working with the Board of Outreach, 6 more members, as we work to make sure the church is an accessible place. I love working with Lindsay Duke as she envisioned creating space and time for community to gather here during the week. She calls it the village. I love working with the Mission Action Board to support their vision of regular learning from nonprofits who are doing the work day in and day out. That's another group of 6 church members. I love working with Amanda Schuko and Grace Vandervliet as they help children, teens, and our families make food for unhoused guests. There's more work. I love working with and hearing from the Pyramids Committee, who have been needing to identify and get new banners for our worship space. Some of them are getting quite raggedy, you can't quite tell. There are 5 people working on that committee. I love working with Paula and Mary as we think carefully about how to support you and the whole church family as we go through another new season. Clearly, I don't work by myself. And you don't either. We do it, as Mary says, together. Often after Kat and I have talked through some small detail of the bulletin or a not-so-small upcoming plan, our parting words to one another are, "Go team." Because that is what we are. We are a team. So, would you pull out that insert that's in your bulletin now? And throughout the rest of the service, would you do some holy imagining about what work it is you feel called to during this season of building? Are you called to building relationships? Are you called to building connections with the greater community outside of these walls? Do you want to be about building budgets? We'll make note of that. Do you want to be somebody who comes in and cooks? Do you want to be part of caring for one another? Maybe it's teaching. Maybe you love throwing a party. Maybe you're interested in praying or writing contracts or visiting, listening, marching. I wonder where you see your role on the team. And I'm mindful for many of you, you already are on a team doing something. Go ahead and name those things. Being part of worship is also being part of the team here. So I invite you to write your thoughts down on the bulletin. You can write right on top of that church structure there because you are helping us build this community. And I invite you to also include your name, unless you don't want to. But if you include your name, then I can check in with you as ideas start to blossom and we can find ways to connect around what you're drawn to. Because we will keep working as a team to tend to the life of our church. So our stewardship season, now we've had 3 Sundays, 3 weeks, and we're wrapping up this week. Next Sunday is our in-gathering Sunday, where we'll invite you all to come forward with your pledge or a card that says you plan to pledge or you have questions. All those will come forward next week. You received a pledge card in the mail. Most of us did. If you didn't and you want to, let us know. There's also hard copies on the ministry station in the hallway. And you can pledge online, too, at our usual link, fbca2.org/connect. The stewardship team would love for you to respond by next Sunday. You'll do us a favor. If you could, as we wrap up our season, share your commitments for the next year. So, you want to come up here with me? Looks like you want to come up here with you. Would you come up here with me? I'd love to have you join me. May I pick you up so you can see? Everybody, are you okay with that? Okay. Will you say these words with me? Will you say, "I am the church"?
I am the church.
Will you repeat after her, "I am the church"?
I am the church.
Will you say, "You are the church"?
You are the church.
You are the church. Say, "We are the church" together.
We are the church together.
We are the church together. And our last thing we're all going to say together, which is, go team. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Go,
go team. Here actually today. Yeah, we're gonna sit on these stairs today. I bet you can figure out why. Come sit by me. You can sit on the stairs, you can sit on the floor here if you want to. We got a lot going on today, so we're sitting in a new spot. Yeah. Welcome everybody. Come on and have a seat. Ooh, I hear a question about these pictures. These pictures. Aaliyah, do you want to come have a seat? Galen, will you have a seat on your bottom? You have a seat on your bottom? Look, there's faces over here. There's faces worshiping online, and there are faces here. All of these faces are doing work or have done work. Work that is about love. Work that is about the business of a church. Work that is about showing love to the world. And these are faces of people who have died. A name we like to call those who have died is saints. These are saints. People who have died who are connected to us. Some of us have worked with these people because they're part of our family. And some of us have worked with these people because they're part of our church.
I'm working with my great-grandma.
Yeah. Maybe if you see a face you recognize or you want to see a face, you could go at home too and look for more faces of people who have died that you love. Yeah, do you? Yeah. Eleanor, just one second. So we have lots of faces up here, and I did hear one voice say, whose boots are those? Yeah, that was you. Is that the question you had? Yeah, those. We were invited to bring pictures or objects that help us remember. I brought those boots. Those are Pastor Stacy's boots. So we include her up there too, and all the faces of people and loved ones who have worked hard to be about important things. Eleanor. Oh, maybe the candles help us remember loved ones too. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to think about all these saints, and we're going to think about all these grown-ups and teenagers. And all these people up here in the choir. And we're going to think about the work we do together. The work that has been done and the work we get to keep doing. And so today, remember two Sundays ago, we put a sticker on our art to represent ourselves. That we are an important part of the church. And then we brought a sticker onto the art to represent those who have loved us well here. And today, our last day of putting stickers, we're going to put stickers on our art to represent the good, hard work we do together. We had a video where Penny and Benji talked about being in children's choir together. And you work together to play and share. You work together to spread love in this space. So we're going to celebrate that work. And we're all going to think about something that matters to us, work that matters to us. And when the children are done putting their stickers on, would you come forward thinking about work you have done, work you'd like to get done? Work you're interested in being a part of? Or just work other people are doing that you're grateful for? That counts too. And you can bring your sticker up from your bulletin. So, Kevin, would you and Will, would you guys grab the black table that has the art on it? They're going to bring it forward. And Tess, would you get my little basket that's on the stairs over there? Do you see the green basket? Could you grab that? And we're going to bring our stickers forward. Thanks, Tess. You can use this time also to be sharing on your insert of things you might be a part of. And that's going to go, honey, this way, perpendicular, yep. Great. I'm going to pass out stickers, and then Miss Shanae is going to play while we represent the work it is to be together as a church community. It takes good work together. If you get more than one, would you pass it to somebody else? Go ahead and stick a sticker, and the yellow basket's for the wrapper. All right, let's do it. Go for it. Thank you. Okay. There. Go for it. Go for it. With all that is going on in our country and the world, I feel so glad to be able to come and pray with you today and to give thanks for those who have shown us what love looks like. In the prayers you'll hear, there'll be a moment where I'll name those who have died that are members of our church family in this past year, and then I'll invite you to offer the names of those that you love who have died after that. Will you pray with me? Creator God, we gather today in your presence and with our community for many reasons. We are here to worship, to honor and give thanks to you, the God of our ancestors. We are here to honor and remember our loved ones by name, those in our own families and those in this church family who have worked hard and have helped bring us to this day. And we are here, God, to be connected with our church family now, those who we work with today and tomorrow, to bring about a more kind and just world. We join with the saints who have resisted, organized, defied, worshiped, refused. We join with the saints who have marched, who have cared, sung, boycotted, loved, voted, and reclaimed. You gather us together, O God. You invite us to remember. And you call us to important work. So we say yes. We say yes to you, and we say yes to each other. And we say yes to the work. We offer all those ideas that are in our minds and in our hearts that we shared, that we are sharing. And now, God, in your presence and with our community, we name those who are on our prayer list, people who we love, who need healing and wholeness. We pray for Bob Kidd, for Bob Reynolds, for John Vandervliet, for Becky Lepley, for Rick Zimmerman, for Adrian Moulton Headley, for Erica Deals, Chuck Suits, Kim Williamson, for Keith Pickleman and Marlene Francis, for Roberta Hawes, for Betty Doman, for Mervyn Urquhartz, for Esther Floyd and Marilyn Marsh. God, we pray for healing and wholeness for Dakota Lawson and Helga Mortensen, for Greg Dubois and Cindy Okarski, for Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Faye Key, and our pastoral search committee. And now, God, we name more names. We give thanks for the saints of our church family who have died this year. For Dan McCullough, for Betty Gerstler, and for David Gregg. And now we name before you all those we have loved. Spike Burton. Keith Knutson. With love, we offer these names that were said aloud, those of you that are worshiping at home and spoken in your place, and those were spoken in our hearts. We give thanks for their lives and their love. And now, together in the words Jesus taught us to pray, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
thank you. want you to think back for just a moment to David Sewell's reading from Genesis 28, and this verse. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid. And he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And then from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 51, just a single verse. And Jesus said to Nathanael, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jacob and the ladder to heaven. There are four questions that we are going to have to answer if we're going to understand this story. First of all, what is so special about this Jacob, who we read about as he flees from Beersheba to Haran? Secondly, what's so special about this place where Jacob dreams of the ladder to heaven? Third, what is so special about what God has to say to Jacob? And finally, what effect does this encounter have on Jacob? So we begin with Jacob. You may have heard that the patriarch Jacob has described in various ways, and none of them very flattering. Usually people focus on his knack for deceit and trickery, his dishonesty. But you see, that's only part of the story and not the main thing. Jacob isn't in the first place a shyster. How would you describe Jacob? Well, to this point, Jacob has been a wrestler. He was, by very nature, a wrestler. He saw life as competition, and Jacob was intent on winning. He was born a wrestler, and I mean that literally. Already in utero, Mother Rebecca, Jacob and his unborn twin Esau had a wrestling match. Round one took place during childbirth, and in round one, Jacob did only manage second best. The best he could do was grab onto Esau's heel as Esau came kicking and screaming out into the world first, and with being born first, he won all the perks and privileges that came from primogeniture, of being the firstborn. Esau was entitled to a double portion of the inheritance and to a special end-of-life blessing from his father, Isaac. Both of these fell to Esau because he beat Jacob out of the birth canal. But that was just round one. Wrestler Jacob, although the weaker of the two, didn't quit just because he lost round one. Jacob began to rely upon his brains. And over the years, choosing his moments carefully, he managed to tweak this sibling rivalry to his favor. He finagled from brother Esau both the double portion of the inheritance as well as the old age blessing of his father. So if you were scoring round two of the wrestling match, Jacob was the clear winner. Now, as Genesis 28 opens, the wrestling match is about to enter round three. Father Isaac is nearing death, and the parental barrier against Jacob bashing is about to expire. Esau has even begun bragging about what he is going to do when old man Isaac kicks off. "I'm gonna kill that kid," he says. And Jacob only has to look down at his own puny biceps and compare them to Esau's field-tested and hunting-hardened muscles to figure out how round three was going to go. Jacob had won round two by tricking Esau into a bad bargain over a bowl of lentil stew. Aesop, as the bookies in Vegas had it, was the prohibitive favorite to win round three with an offering of knuckle sandwich. And so Jacob does what any intelligent wrestler will do. He runs. He hightails it out of there, heading for his uncle's ranch in Haran. And with it, his identity as a competitor takes a hit, and he finds himself that first night away from home in a space and a place where his very identity is in question. He no longer knows who he is, nor does he know where he is. Who is Jacob at this point? Well, he is the quintessential young adult, especially young male adult, of any species of any age, but especially of our day and age. You know, it's a fact of biology across the animal kingdom. What is the place of young adult males? I teach a segment in my environmental ethics class on the Asiatic lion of the Gir Forest in India. The entire world's population of Asiatic lions is squeezed into a small preserve in western India. There are far too many lions for the size of the preserve. As new lions are born, the excess population is forced to the edges and then to outside of the preserve. And who is this excess population? Well, young females get integrated into tribes. They belong. Young males, by contrast, are forced out of the preserve. They become loners, where they face daunting odds. Conflicts with humans, farmers, poisons, falling into water wells, poaching, struck and killed by trains or cars. It's a nasty, brutal, tough, and often short life. And sad to say, human culture oftentimes isn't that much different. Why did Islamic fundamentalism arise at the end of the last century? A major factor was the number of disaffected and displaced young men in Muslim society. Looking for a place and an identity, a reason to exist. And they found it in jihad. And here in the U.S., the struggles of young adults, especially male, has been given a name. It's called adolescence. The lengthening of time before young people assume adult responsibilities. Aimless, shiftless, unattached, a crisis of identity. Does that sound like Jacob? Jacob on the run has entered a new realm, the realm of the superfluous young male. And he doesn't know who he is, or when he is, or how to find his way out of this mess. So that first question, what's so special about Jacob in this story? Nothing. He's a nobody adrift. The first step to resolving Jacob's lack of identity in his dislocation is to find out where he is. So our second question, what is so special about this place? Well, just as we said that really there's nothing special about Jacob that distinguishes him, so we have to say that the place where all this happens is no place. It is not only no place special, it is literally no place. All that is said is that it was between Beersheba and Haran. It is a deserted place, so devoid of comforts and amenities that the only thing available for a pillow is a rock. There is no sign of habitation, nothing identifiable, not even a name to tell him where he is. It's night. Jacob is abandoned. He is really and truly in nowhere land. Where is nowhere land? Well, it's the nothingness between places. It's a little like the gray and grungy days of February and March compared to the Christmas of December or the unfolding splendor of May. February, too, is a nowhere day, regardless of whether the groundhog seems to shadow or not. Nowhere land, it's like driving through North Dakota on your way to the Rocky Mountains. And see, here's the thing. The gods and goddesses of this world are the gods of specific places and specific times. They are for people who know where they are and what time it is, what needs to be done. So Pan is the god of woodlands, Diana the god of forests and hunting, the Canaanite goddess the god of the thunderstorm. There are moon gods, and there are sun gods, and there are river gods, and there are highway gods. They all have a specific place and specific activities. Who is the god for nowhere land? And isn't nowhere land exactly the place where you really need a god? Who is the god for the dog days of August or the misery of February? Who is the god of nowhere North Dakota? Who is the god of no job, no purpose, no identity? As Walter Brueggemann points out, the remarkable point of this story is that nothing special Jacob finds himself in no place special, and God turns this place into a crucial place. In fact, and this is the key, it is in the nowhere of our lives where nothing seems to be going on, and we don't have the foggiest notion of who we are or where we are going, that God appears and turns nowhere into the house of God. And which of us doesn't find, at one time or another, find ourselves in nowhere in need of God? Our God is truly remarkable. Nowhere becomes somewhere. In fact, dare I say it, nowhere turns out to be the gateway to heaven. Which brings us to Jacob's dream and our third question. The first part of the dream is all action and no words. Jacob sees a stairway to heaven with angels ascending and descending. What you should picture is one of the pyramids of the ancient world, not the smooth ones of Egypt, but the ziggurats, the tiered pyramids. And up and down the steps of this pyramid, we find the messengers of God, angels going to and fro around the earth, carrying out the commands of God. This tells Jacob that God is still at work, and God's messengers are still at work in the world, and what is more, they enter the realm of this world in nowhere places just as much as in somewhere places. God hasn't disappeared. Even away from home, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Sarah and Rebekah is still present and active. And God speaks to confirm this. God mentions the standard promises that have been given to Abraham and Sarah, to Isaac and Rebekah. God's promises hold true, this says, in nowhere, just as much as in somewhere. And what it tells Jacob is that there is still a land waiting for this figure in nowhere land. There are still children and grandchildren for this bachelor with no family. There will still come blessing to the world through this man who is feeling profoundly whipped and beaten. The standard promises still hold. But God adds a promise personal to Jacob. I will be with you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this place where you belong and where you need to be. Jacob, the wrestler can relax. It is not Jacob's competitive urges or skill at combat of wit that will bring him out on top. It's God's grace, not our competitive skills, that enable us to be winners in life. And the effect upon Jacob of all this is quite dramatic. Oh, he'll still be tempted to cheat in the future to get ahead. He'll still have his bad days. But now he knows that the God of his ancestors is with him, even in places that sport only rocks for pillows. And he exclaims, "Surely God is in this place, and I did not know it." And a deep fear of the Lord comes over him, so deep that it enables him to go years away from this homeland and from the things he had wanted, simply because God had promised to be with him. Jacob at Bethel. Nowhere man in nowhere land, as the Beatles sang. And in nowhere land, he finds a ladder to heaven and discovers that God is there, graciously there, turning nowhere into somewhere, a nobody into somebody, and the nightmare of the past into a vision of a gateway to heaven in the present. Now, I want to make a leap here and give you in conclusion something to chew on in the coming week. In the New Testament, in John 1, Jesus promises the disciples that they will see great things. And he said, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Kind of sounds like Jacob's dream, doesn't it? And it seems to me that here Jesus is making a startling claim. Jesus is claiming to be our Bethel, our house of God, our gateway to heaven. So that each one of us, at those times when you or I find nothing special about ourselves, and when we find ourselves in those nowhere places, that when we lie down in our dreary places where our pillows might as well be rocks for all the comfort they give us, that those very moments, Jesus is one place, our place, where the angels of God ascend and descend upon us, letting us know that this whole world is God's house. There is nowhere God is not present, and that God will be with us wherever we go. That wherever we are, there is a ladder to heaven. Amen. Singing a carol. Now, I think most of us operate under the assumption that carols are for Christmas. But in the English tradition, there are Easter carols and there are other carols. And this is a carol from the 17th century that is about Jacob and Jacob's lap. We'll rise to sing this, and the choir is going to sing stanza one and the refrain. They'll also sing stanza two. We'll join on the refrain, and then we'll all be singing stanzas three and four. You're now invited to give of the bounty that God has blessed you with as a token of our giving of our lives to God. Receive these our gifts, and with them receive our lives. For all that we are, we owe to you, and all that we will be in your future. Amen. This is the feast of love, the table of grace, a sign of God's reign of justice. And at this table, we acknowledge again that love is the final and only thing that matters. And that this love connects us to each other in life and in death, beyond all understanding. We do not come to this feast alone, but with each other. And not only with each other, but with all God's children throughout the world. Not only with God's children throughout this world, but with all those beyond this world on another shore. They sit now at the great table at the heavenly feast, completely filled by God's goodness and love, and transformed into that goodness and love themselves. Now we take our taste, too. For now it is enough to sustain us until we finally join them and gaze on the beautiful face of love ourselves. To prepare ourselves to receive this meal, let us confess our sins before God and each other.
Will you pray with me? Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and before one another that we have sinned by our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent as we make our confessions to you in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to God, parent of us all, creator of heaven and earth. God is God of creation and all beginnings, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of apostles and martyrs, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so, with God's people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise God's name and join their unending hymn. Holy is God, and blessed is God's Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism and suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. In the night when he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
bread of life.
In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup. He blessed it, and he gave it to his friends, and he said to them, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cup of love.
Let us pray. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves to others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things by your Spirit. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Amen.
So on all communion Sundays, we have an extra offering plate at the doors for the Fellowship Fund. The Fellowship Fund is the fund that helps us support people who have really specific material need. And there is usually one or two people who come to our space every day looking for support, either to pay for a cell phone bill that's overdue or a night at a hotel or a waterproof backpack. And so this Fellowship Fund makes it possible for us to respond to the needs of our neighbors. So we invite you to give generously to that good work. Those plates are at the door as you leave today. So let's sing together now.
Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us now extend the peace of Christ to one another. The peace of Christ be with you. As we go from this place, God blesses us. So receive this blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.